see Dr. Doug and Ted, JD on the Turago bed, Phobes Podcast. Podium finish. My notes here say it's got bigger than Tina drums. About the purity of winning, because you can't argue with who wins or what place they are in. Teach them how to lose. Did you write this about Greg Hunt and you, your rivalry at the...
No. This was recorded. We definitely did this at on one of those Tuesday nights at Ted's. Me, Ted and Doctor. Uh-huh. Adam wasn't involved in this at all. Yeah, just one of Ted's demo recordings, podium finish. And...
A demo for 1,000 yard? A demo for what purpose?
Yeah, 1,000 yard stare. Yeah, yeah. Demoed for that record. Yeah, for sure.
Would some of these demos offcuts have been done live maybe once or twice, or this one in particular ever done?
Played live?
Yeah.
Nah, never played it live, nah. As I said, Doug didn't ever work. He didn't even know the song really. So, it was just something we had dagging around that we put on, used as a B-side. Yeah. Sorry, John, I just got to have a leak. I'm bursting. One sec.
Do it.
That's my feet, I don't want to diminish it. Came in third, that's a podium finish. There's no ointment to mask disappointment. Gotta get up and keep my appointments. Put on the kettle, look at my medal. I need a break like a flower needs petals. There's no bias up on the dais. Got the dupe, but we got no bias. That's a podium finish. I don't want to diminish my podium finish. No, I didn't win it. Came in third, that's a podium finish. Let's not diminish my podium finish. I could beat you to that feature. Yeah. I'm so low, I need an altimeter. Came in third, honorable mention. I booked my seat at the losers' convention. There's no bias up on the dais. We got the good, but we got no bias. That's a podium finish. I don't wanna diminish my podium finish. No, I didn't win it. Came in third, that's a podium finish. Let's not diminish my podium finish. Podium finish, podium finish, podium finish, podium finish. I don't want to diminish it. Came in third, that's a podium finish. There's no ointment to mask disappointment. Gotta get up and keep my appointment. Put on the kettle, look at my medal. I need a break like a flower needs petals. That's a podium finish. I don't want to diminish my podium finish. No, I didn't win it. Came in third, that's a podium finish. Let's not diminish my podium finish. Podium finish, 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 podium finish.
Welcome back to Phobes Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and we have returning guest, Joel Palmer. How are you going, Joel?
Hello, John. Hello, everyone. Going well, thank you.
What song are we reviewing on this episode?
I've got a B-side called Podium Finish.
Podium Finish. Track 3, I think, or 2 on the Give Up Your Day Job single. We're not sure when recorded, probably at Ted's. It was a 1,000-yard demo. I think Coxie and Doctor said there was a period there of a few months where each they went up to Ted's house, his studio, every week, and they recorded one song. And I think this and Black Box and a few others were results from that. So, yeah, wait, first impressions of this song. Are you a fan, Joel?
I really am. It was one I didn't hear at the time, so it's another one that's a fresh B-side to my ears, and it was a real pleasant surprise. And, yeah, it was quite a departure from the normal Fove sound. Not that the Foves have just, you know, pigeonholed into one sound, but, yeah, this one felt quite different for them.
Mm.
It's growing on me every listen.
Yeah, it's not one I listen to very often. I think it's safe to say I prefer Black Box to this. But yeah, you're right, it is pretty different. I was struggling to find a twin song for it. Obviously, because of its electro slash rap nature, you want to say, oh, is it like something off the album it was destined for or projected to be a possibility for? I actually compare it to The Asylum, that song off the bonus disc off Drive Through Charisma from, you know, the first song Coxie ever recorded on the demo. Yeah. Because it's sort of electro tilt. It's a song about a theme. And yeah, it reminds me of The Asylum a little bit.
It was definitely a bit of a shock factor for me listening to it through. I wasn't expecting that kind of rap rock feel and that new territory.
Yeah, man. Coxie was trying to do Hilltop Hoods.
It made me wonder too, like when Coxie took it into the rest of the band, what their reaction would have been, whether he would have been nervous showing them, or really excited and proud.
It's not on Prefer Others, is it?
It's not, no, but it should be.
Really? Interesting.
I'd have this ahead of quite a few other songs off that compilation. And, if it wasn't for you sending me an MP3 of this, I wouldn't have heard it, John, because it's not on YouTube. It's not on, you can't get to give up your day job B-sides on Spotify yet. So I really appreciated you sending me this one because I can't believe, you know, it's been over 20 years and I haven't hadn't actually heard this song. I was missing out. Yeah, so I'm more Podium Finish than Black Box.
Ah, well, I'm really glad I asked you to be on the program. Obviously, Michael's not joining us for these B-sides, so the pressure is on. I thought, I can't speak about this enough on my own. So it's good that I've found someone who is.
It has got me wondering whether Michael would like Podium Finish with it. It's got a pretty cool little, we'll talk more about the music soon, but yeah, there's a bit of a bass part that stands out to me on this one.
Hmm. There's no reason, Michael should like it because what's on a podium? How many people are on a podium?
Three.
Gold. Yeah, it's like everything better divided by three. That's what we love as Cox fans, yeah. Well, what do you want to do, Joel? Lyrics or music?
Maybe do music first.
Okay. My first note for this was, and remember, when I started this project like 4 years ago planning it, I wrote down like a little summary of each song and I said, does this strike anyone as being a little bit Ben Lee or even Tim Minchin type comedy type of song? And I said, it's got that Beastie Boy response thing, you know, that, you know, that thing, that, where two people join on the vocals. Sorry, there's probably a better name for that, popping or whatever it's called, or rapping, popping, I don't know.
Yeah.
And obviously this time, you know, on Lazy Highways, they're experimenting with more percussive sounds, loops and things like on Long Load and even Bigger Than Tina, you know, some drum loops and things. So, or get me the research. So Coxie's trying to try and go a little bit rappy. Yeah. Hey, what do you think of the music?
The almost Red Hot Chili Pepper vibes in some parts as well with the their early kind of back and forth rap. Hilltop Hoods, I think you mentioned before. That's another good kind of contrast. That keyboard kind of feel that was starting to happen around Thousand Yard Stare makes sense, but yeah, wouldn't have expected such a out there kind of rap rock song from the Fives. I did share this with a friend who's starting to get into the Fives a bit more, a friend from Burnie in Tasmania, and he's a big Chili Peppers fan, so, and he's starting to get a real passion for Coxie after he came to see them live with me last year. And
good, yeah, good.
His comments were, it contains loads of the elements I like in a song, blobby bass line. He loves a blobby bass line. It's upbeat. It's upbeat, subtle humorous lyrics, like let's not diminish my podium finish. It's very Coxie to write a song celebrating third place. So he's, well, a new fan. He's starting to get that self-deprecating humour that Coxie has. And he said he also liked the almost Red Hot Chili Pepper approach of a verse of a white man rap followed by a flowing sung chorus and how it works beautifully. Yeah, it's probably wouldn't have thought that it could be a song that could grow new fans.
Mm. Yeah, well, you mentioned that, like, so the chorus is the easy bit to work out. It's just C and G.
That's a podium finish. I don't want to diminish. C, G, like bigger than Tina. Da, 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 da.
Where the verse is sort of not really anchored in any chords. It's sort of C, F sharp, something dissonant. Well, that's my feet. I don't want to diminish it. C, 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 F sharp, ba, ba, da, which isn't in the same key at all. It's not really musically. It's, well, it's not usual. It's not typical. C, 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 F sharp. Well, that's my feet. I don't want to diminish it. C, 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 F sharp. Ba, ba, da, ba, da, ba, 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 ba. Just like any other rap song. But then the chorus is, yeah, as I said, just.
Da, 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 da. I don't want to diminish.
Do you generally like rap songs, John?
I'm very white, but I when this song came out in 99, all my friends were getting into nu metal, and I thought I just couldn't stand Fred Durst and all that sort of white boy rap. But the Regurgitator, everything Quan Yeomans does, I adore. Like, he can do it all for me. He can do snotty punk songs, 80s pop songs, or really good rap songs, you know. I often thought maybe him and Coxie should collaborate, you know.
Oh, that'd be amazing. They could, that side project Quan had with Janet around this time was really pretty fun too. Happy Land?
Yes, yep. Don't You Know Who I Am?
Yeah, yep. There's some cool stuff that came out of that. That's not...
The song Hello, the second single Hello, I think, with the exclamation mark. Yep.
That almost whispery kind of Quan singing. Yeah, that was really cool.
I guess we should go on to lyrics unless we've got anything else to say about the music.
And I think I might have a few ideas on the lyrics because these aren't up online, are they, John? You've just done your best at trying to capture them.
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't find them on Genius, whatever it's called, Genius Lyrics. Yeah.
That's a podium finish. I don't want to diminish your podium finish. That's a podium finish. I don't want to diminish my podium finish. I want to eat fish and chips.
So the verse. Okay, I'll go through what I think it was. Well, that's my feat. I don't want to diminish it. I came in third. That's a podium finish. So, you know, I'm happy with what I've done. I came in third, but that's all right. Maybe he's obliquely talking to Polydor. Like, we came in, we've left Polydor. I don't know. There's no ointment to life's disappointment with the Beastie Boy tag there. Got to get up and keep my appointments. I've got to keep plowing on. Put on the kettle. Look at my medal. I need a break like a flower needs petals.
That's gold.
One wonders what Quan Yeomans would think of that. You know, is that corny or is that funny?
Oh, I definitely found it funny.
There's no bias up on the dais. Got goosebumps, got by it. Is that what he says? Got by it? I couldn't work that out really.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the first time or the second time, but I think I'm hearing got the goods, but we got no buyers.
Oh, okay. Got the goods, goosebumps. Yeah.
I think there is goosebumps in the first one and then the second one Yeah, I'm hearing more got the goods, but we got no buyers. I could be completely wrong on that.
That would make sense. That would be good. You know, we know we're a good, we've had four albums now. We're writing really good pop songs now, but everyone's lost attention. No one's interested in the Foes brand. Yeah, look, there's no bias up on the dais. So, you know, in the cold, heart light of day, you know, you either come first, second or third, and that proves if you're good or not. You know, that's the evidence you need of quality.
Yeah, it's all fair test, of your abilities.
See, the Foves are no strangers to this in song. Like, this is a song about metrics and judging things. So way back, I was mentioning The Asylum before, but way back, unreleased songs from the late 80s, early 90s, 56 Fathoms, Net Weight 1 Pound, and of course Doctor's Songs, Jim Fix, 3 Minute Mile, Coxie's Jim Fix, that a lot of songs about measuring and performance and competition, actually.
Yeah, and that sporting competitive kind of theme Coxie has.
Yeah. It's sort of a bit of a little mini resonance with Black Box Explains It about measurements, you know, and a record of what actually happened and what was achieved or what went wrong. And in this case, coming third, you know, it's nothing to be sniffed at. Is that racing? I know I'm not really Australian at all, am I? But racing, when you come third, you say you got a place, is that right? First, second, and placed? Is that horse races when they come in third for the trifecta or something?
Yeah. Placed. And you're betting on a place, aren't you? Yeah. But
is that uniquely Australian, that word? Like, do they use that in American racing and like, he placed third? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I wonder
I know there's been a lot of talk in the last few weeks with the AFL and the Brownlow medal is something that's given to the best player in the competition as voted by the umpires, but they don't give a runner-up medal or a third-place medal, and there's been a lot of talk about whether they should in fact get one. And, and, you know, they are part of the podium finish, aren't they? So maybe that is something that will happen down the track.
Do you remember what Sean Connery says in The Rock to Nicolas Cage about trying? Do you remember that line?
What's the line there? That's
losers always talk about how they tried, but winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
That's right. I do remember that now. Classic.
Great line. Classic. The chorus. That's a podium finish. I don't want to diminish. Though I didn't win, it came in third. Bit of a mouthful there. I don't know. Do you like it?
I do, yeah. Makes me smile, makes me laugh.
Then the final verse, the first two lines I didn't know. I put Nietzsche, the philosopher, two left feet. I'm so slow, I need a... Do you have any clue of what he was saying?
I'm nearly hearing for that. I think you're right in that first line. Then I think I've got, I'm so low, I need an alpha beta.
Right. Right, shout out to the future song, maybe? Alpha, beta? Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't work it out. Your guess is as good as mine.
It's a little bit hard to make out, but, yeah, that's what I was kind of coming up with on that one.
Then came in third, honourable mention, I booked my seat at the loser convention. There's no bias up on the dais, got the goods, no one's buying, which I think, yeah. The more I hear it, the more I hear how you interpreted it. Interpreted it. That's got to be the worst verb in the English language, edit, isn't it? I edited it. Yeah.
Yep.
Those are the lyrics.
Did you find you felt like it was all going to finish at around a minute and a half? It sounded like it was just kind of fading out, and then you get this middle breakdown that you didn't quite see coming, and... Yeah, kicks back in for more fun.
Yes, I thought it would... I just thought it would finish up quite quickly. I do think Coxie was finding difficulty coming up with lyrics, I think. At least in the chorus, you know, he said diminish it again and, I don't know, a bit of the old man's trick, you just repeat a bit of the verse in the chorus, yeah.
A bit of a sing-along coming out of the bridge that I think I'm hearing them singing, or Coxie singing, it's not what they used to teach in school, teach them how to lose.
Oh, yes, that's right. Teach them how to lose.
In that very regurgitator type style.
I've read a lot of articles recently about life skills being taught in school, and it's like, why don't we teach kids how to boil rice or how to check the gas meter or all those sort of simple things, or pay your tax and that sort of thing? Yeah, teach them how to lose.
That resilience.
Well, I prefer Gin and Tonics of Black Box, but I don't hate this song. I just, yeah, I'll probably never listen to it again, but you like it. Good man. You're an advocate. Good on you.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Black Box, solid song. But yeah, Podium Finish is rising up my favourite B-sides of the Fives catalogue. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Everything's Better Divided by Three. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode. Will you join me, Joel, for Glow Mesh in the future?
Loving this B-side series, John. So, yes, I'd love to come back. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye.
Sure, I saw you. And Coca-Cling down the hall says, yes, I caught you. Sure, I caught you. A podium finish, I don't want to diminish. A podium finish, a podium finish. I don't want to diminish. A podium finish, I want to finish.
I wrote a book, like a memoir called The Summer of 82 about leaving school. And that was, I love writing that book. It was all about the 80s and stuff like that. And people absolutely loved that book. And I remember saying to my wife, God, so many people have read this book. People wrote me letters, emails. People would stop me in the street and go, I love your book. And then the sales came out, 4,226. It's like, I reckon I've met every one of them. Because I'm thinking, oh, this book's selling at least 10, 20,000. But no, books just don't sell that much.
No, I believe 5,000 makes you a bestseller.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what the publisher said. You almost got a bestseller. Yeah. That's what they said. Yeah. Almost a bestseller.
David Lee Roth, Van Halen, famous, had the amazing brand M&Ms, which is my favorite ever writer story. I still use it all the time. The brand M&Ms, for people who don't know, that was one of their outrageous rider things. But they were touring PAs and lights that were bigger than anyone had ever done. And they had some real safety problems. They had things falling out of ceilings. They had PAs falling over, stages that couldn't handle the weight. And so in the middle of page 27 of a 40-page thing, when Van Halen came to play at your stadium, it said, we need 100-amp breakers. We need this many security per people. We need a stage that can carry this much. We need a bowl backstage with no brand M&Ms. We need this many things. We need this, blah, blah, blah. And so that way, if they walked backstage and they saw the bowl, they went, we're not going on stage because we have to check that it's safe. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was a freaking cool idea. Was there something that you guys, business-wise, that you put together, you're like, we're freaking glad we did that?
I mean, I thought you were leaning into the rider question there.
I mean, you can tell me about that.
I do remember we added socks.
Ah.
Yeah, we realized very early on that socks were an important part of touring life, and we noticed when we went to truck stops that you
why could, why were socks?
I'm not
what
sure.
What were you doing with your socks?
I wasn't doing what you were doing.
Well, I never ran out of socks.
Look, if the bus is rocking.
Yeah, don't come and noggin.
Hey, Gillies, what's that rabbit doing in your bunk?
Look, I don't know why, but for some reason, like, it was easier just to throw socks out. And just because at truck stops, for some reason, they had these huge packs of like 30 socks.
Yeah.
So we put socks on the rider. So every place you went to, you just grabbed fresh pair of socks.
Because you could stretch a pair of jeans and a t-shirt out
for a few days.
To next laundry day.
Yeah.
Socks after a gig.
Yeah. It was easy to throw them in the bin. Look, it was a little wasteful. I'm sorry. But, you know, for the recycling, you know, not great. But, you know, it was easy to throw them in the bin and you know you've got a fresh deck ready to go.
Well, look, you know, athlete's foot has kept many a band off the road.
Yep.
And it's hygiene and, you know, I think Foo Fighters do socks and boxes.
Yeah, right.
Fresh pair of boxes for everyone in there.
Yeah,
socks and jocks.
Yeah, look, it's safe to say that athlete Jokic didn't bring Silverchair down.
Hygiene.
Yeah, the old gig butt.
Almost finished. 1 second, is that right?
Hello, my name is John. I'm 57 years old and I'm an alcoholic. I've always been a great fan of the Foes and I started collecting their releases like in the 90s, and I was not living on the East Coast. It was rare to see them play live. And over the years, like, I couldn't ignore how there was always that address on all of them. Like, hey, I can, you know, what is this address? It's not, you know, what is this? It doesn't say fan club. It just says right to the Foes. I can do that. Now, there's a lot going on in the 90s and the early 2000s that weren't rock-based. Now, rock is king and rock won. You can look at any sort of rave sort of crowd now and everyone's standing back to front to back, staring at the stage. What do you do after the rock show? Like, the rock show's finished, the pub's shut. What do you do now? Like, you're going to go to one of those places where they play like that. Oh, it's grunge music and it's rock and roll. And it's like, those places sucked. They're the worst places to be in between, like, what do they say? Like, nothing good happens after 1 a.m. Bullshit. That's magic hour. The tough time is sundown the following day. That's when you start feeling creepy. But sun up the next morning, that's awesome. So anywho, out of all that stuff that was going on, like, yeah, rock, I love punk rock and, you know, all the, it's got to be heavy, but the Foes became like kind of, I don't know, like, I understand the parasocial relationship in there. I started writing. One time I came home from a gig and I wrote to the address, and sometime later I got a letter back. I thought, holy mackerel, they're kind of there. Now, being aware of their background and who they are, like, what, they're not on Rock Quiz? I used to watch Recovery just to be certain they're on there. If they're not on there, maybe I'm not going to stick around. But I like the band. I didn't think I could be friends with them. Like, I am fucking, you know, I don't know if I'd get along with those, you know, get along with us. And one of the funniest stories, I thought it was funny, you know, as you play your friend for a fool. It was after the band, the Foes, had played in the city, in my city, and I'd gone to see them with my friends. We had a good time, whatever. And it was after that, or maybe that night, my friend was telling me how they were going to write a note and stick it on the front door of my home, on my house, saying, "Dear John, sorry we missed you. Hope you enjoyed the show last night. It was great to play here. Catch you next time from Coxie and the Foes." And it was like, it was the funniest thing ever. That was like the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And to this day, like, as far as that, who are they? Like, what do you guys do for a crust? Like, back in the day, like, when I saw the documentary, I was going, he's got to be on a carer's pension. You mentioned the doll during the, what episode was that? After the bigger than, and it was like, the carer's pension in the 90s, that was the gold standard for performing musicians. Like, they lived at home, they had a carer's pension. You'd meet their parents, they'd be like, you know, way fitter than their guitar-playing son, you know what I'm saying? Like, anywho, I thought, what do they do for a crust? It's whatever. And over the years, I would just come home, like, sun's coming, whatever. I would just, every now and again, I'd find myself, I'd write another letter to the foe. Sometimes I was like, yay, this is great. And sometimes I'd kind of go, fuck everything. I just saw a band, they suck. Hope you guys are sticking together. And there's the thing. I don't understand that, like, when they go, you can't, you know, like, when you're broke, you got to be, you go bankrupt, what is it, 7 years? So, like, yeah, I get it. Like, I don't think it's a mystery why there'll be, you know, 8 years between a band releasing a new album, because someone had to go bankrupt for the last one tanking. I don't know. Is that what it is? But that's what's made it endearing for me, is never knowing if there's going to be another record. So, like, there could be these huge gaps between the records. And, like, the time they did Japanese engines and German engines, oh, what? That's fucking sick. Two records at the same time. That's like, that was unreal. And it's like, and then the past few years, was it maybe now, like, I've learned more about this. Like, they've got adult children. Maybe they've got more time. And, you know, like, that thing about recording in Bali, like, I can imagine there's just people, like, you know, the carers, pensioners, that are across Australia going, we can do that? We can go to fucking Bali and record a record there? But they have got Ted. They've got, you know, like, whereas most bands, like, they're just going to fuss and fight about, you know, like, it's who's producing the record. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know too many professional musicians that have got somebody on their side, or they're like the last gang in town, like the Foes are, that can, there's somebody in the room going, fuck off, I'm turning that down, it's not going to be, we're clipping that there, and da-da-da-da-da, as well as, like, getting up there to do it. I mean, they kind of, they can come on to recording match fit, which is, like, maybe a lot of acts have a lot of fights, like, you know, like a lot of disagreements, or they don't stick around, but